What a song.
Open my lips to you, lifting my praise to you.
Lord,
as a living sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life.
In Jesus' name we worship. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for your tangible presence. Because the scripture says you inhabit the praises of your people. And indeed, you've done that this well today. Both in the earlier part of the service and even now. As we go into the word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. Pray for fresh unction and anointing. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in each of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the foot of the Holy Spirit. Further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
Amen.
And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in the prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said,
Amen.
This first Sunday of the year, first message I preached the watch night service, which was still 2022 into 2023. But this one, the Lord has given me a very important message. I've been mentioning it here in church, and I believe today is the day God wants me to deliver it. And I've entitled it, Long Life and Fulfilling of Destiny. Just before I go into the word, I want to make two comments. Usually at the beginning of the year like this, in many churches, you find people talking about the year, politics, government, election. And some people may be expecting to do that. I'm not going to do that. Because I've not been instructed to, number one. Number two, and probably more importantly, is that God is more interested in the church. It is the church that will solve the problem of the nation. Many people don't understand that. You will observe, that when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't pray for the world. He prayed for the church. He said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these men, these 12, and then by extension, all of us. And he prayed that, you know, we would know the love of God, that, you know, we'll become one. He prayed for the unity of the church, not just the unity of the faith, but more importantly, the unity of the Spirit and the unity of knowledge, so that they be made perfect in one, so that the world will know. You see, by praying for the church, he was praying for the world. Because the salvation of the church, of the world, is in the hands of the church. And that is why my focus is not so much on the nation as it is on the church. Because I have come to realize, I've been praying for Nigeria by the grace and the mercy of God. But the grace of God that is within me for the past 42 years consistently. I first got the call when I was in Imperial College, before I even came to Nigeria. I didn't know some of the scriptures I know now. I didn't know Zephaniah, I didn't know Isaiah, I didn't know those. I had read them, but like I was a young Christian, I didn't have a revelation about them, you know. But I just knew Nigeria was very important. And God told me that I should start praying for Nigeria. And then, of course, I heard from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin taught us from 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we should pray for kings and for all that in authority. So I took it seriously. And as I pray 1 hour every week, one every week, I start praying for 9 years on my own as an individual. Then, years later, you know, just around the time, just before we started Scripture Pasture, about a year before we started Scripture Pasture, you know, a group of us, myself, Larry Adeneko, with whom I started Scripture Pasture, you know, Pastor Ronti, I think, was doing his youth call, so he wasn't very much around at that time. Fred Adegoke, Friday Beki, Wale Adekoya of blessed memory. Occasionally, Francis Walioke would join us, you know. It was about 10 of us, you know. Some people would come, some would go. We started praying for Nigeria every Tuesday in our house. That house we started Scripture Pasture in, you know. That's how I started this Tuesday thing. Now that's the origin of it, you know. And so later on, when we started the church, you know, we started also praying for the nation, especially after June 12, 1993, the annulment of the Abiola election and all the events that followed it, bringing Nigeria to the brink, you know. And I have come to see with this intercession over the years that what the church does or does not do affects the destiny of the nation. And that is why I know a lot of people are anxious about 2023, the coming elections, the violence against the INEC offices, the rancor in the political parties. Both parties have one, you know, issue or the other. All of the parties have one issue or the other. You know, as you know, I am totally non-partisan, you know, but I know that the answer to all of those problems is in the church. If the church, and I believe we will, prays and does its part, God will move sovereignly. And he will cause his kingdom to come and his will to be done in the church. Many people are not conscious sufficiently because invisible things are unreal to us. We can't see them, so we don't have faith as we should. See, faith is seeing and accepting as reality what is going on in the invisible spiritual realm. Many people do not realize that it is true that God rules in the affairs of men. They don't believe it. And I'll tell you why. They see a lot of terrible things happen on the earth. They see the wicked rule. They see murder. They see sin. They see the destruction, you know, that is in the earth. Natural disasters, and they say, where is God in all this? What you need to understand, I said this many years ago, and I'm going to repeat it today, is that God intervenes in strategic places and at strategic points in time in history to cause the course of history to go the way he wants it to go. He does not intervene openly in the lives of individuals every day, except they're Christians and they know how to pray. He will intervene in every life to some degree. That's why I call it sovereignty, the sovereign grace of God. What I was talking about, Pastor Wale. Pastor Wale was just a child. His mother, you know, wasn't born again at that time. And they went to this cherubim and seraphim church, but God intervened. You know, they were not conscious of it, you know. Brought them back to Nigeria, brought Wale back to Nigeria, you know. He did his youth call in Jos, came back to Ibadan, you know. He wasn't even coming to Scripture, but he was going to Deeper Life. He was going to another church completely, you know. But I think through the, you know, House Fellowship, I don't remember all the details of the story, but God, he finally came here. And then he heard the preaching and the teaching, and God, you know, got a hold of him. So what I'm saying is this. It may not be obvious to you, but God is moving. And my phone went off accidentally. Sorry. You know, it may not be obvious to you, but God is working. And so it is even with our nation, Nigeria. If you look at our history, you see, you know, even when we didn't know God, even when we didn't have a church as strong as we have it now, you know, who knows how to pray, who knows understands praying in tongues and all. In 1966, 67, how many Christians in Nigeria are praying in tongues? Very few. And even those who were not praying with any degree of something, the Civil War, you know, the first coup happened, the second coup happened, the Civil War happened, and you would have thought it would tear the nation apart. And it almost did. But God intervened. God intervened. Not only did God intervene, some of you may not know this, but it is what happened. You know, it was towards the end of the Civil War. That is 1968, 69. The Civil War ended early in 1970, January 15, if I remember rightly, when the Biafrans, you know, surrendered. Do you know what happened? Right in the Civil War, at the tail end of the Civil War, many of the young Igbo boys who were in the East started getting born again. There was the SU movement. It was very strong in the East as well as here in Western Nigeria, you know, in the universities, in the secondary schools. There was this, I remember I entered Form 1 in 1970. 71, 72, you know, some of our senior boys started telling us to come to fellowship. We didn't know what fellowship meant. We didn't know what it was all about, you know. But because in those days, seniors were like God. I remember the guy who became senior prefect. He was in Form 3 when I was in Form 1. He was a Christian. And he just said, "Johnson, you're coming to fellowship." End of story. That's how it was in those days. It was a direct order. I had let my life be precious in his eyes. There was no question of appeal. You know, and we went there singing all the way to Calvary. We didn't know what we were doing, but God was moving. What I'm saying to you is that it's not until you talk politics and all of that before God will move. And that is why what I am being instructed to do is to focus on the church. Because if the church gets it right, Nigeria will get it right. Everything will work out the way God wants it to work out. Whichever way, whichever political party wins, and whichever, you know, whichever way God's, he will work around all of that. And there's this wonderful scripture that God revealed to me in Job 34, and then he gave one to my wife in Job chapter 5. And, you know, it just talks about God intervening in the affairs of men and the political situation. Let me tell you, I said this earlier on this morning when I was teaching and preaching, the year of comfort, vengeance, and glory. It will not be business as usual. It doesn't matter who wins. When they come into power, because of the glory of God that is going to come, if you do nonsense and all of that, God's judgment will fall and he will remove you quick. I said quick. The Bible says so. It says he will slaughter. I don't know whether that's the word that it used in the book of Job. It says he will remove many mighty men without human hand. And he will set others in their stead because they refuse to obey him, so that the hypocrite will not reign. If the church gets it right, we will have the power to remove kings and put them back in. Like Daniel. Daniel was shuffling kings like you shuffle cards. Daniel was the one, Nebuchadnezzar, from Nebuchadnezzar to his son, to his grandson Belteshazzar, from Belteshazzar to Darius, from Darius to Cyrus. And ultimately the will of God was fulfilled for the Jews to be returned back to the promised land. It's not going to be any different with Nigeria. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It is well with Nigeria." Because it is well with you and I. You need to understand that. So, this afternoon, I'm going to be sharing with you about the importance of long life and fulfilling your destiny. Many, many, many Christians have a wrong understanding. Let me correct that and be a little bit more generous. Have an incomplete understanding of this issue of long life. And so many lives are lost unnecessarily. many people die prematurely, erroneously believing that is the will of God. They say, oh, well, you know, God is sovereign. In Yoruba, they say, Akole Oluwani, that means it's what God has written. There's nothing you can do about it. Once God has said, Ojo tikpe non, yeah. You know, that means that when God says the day is up, the day is up. And you see, there's truth in that, but it's not the whole truth. There is truth there, but it's not the whole truth. And what I want to do in these next few minutes is to lay a foundation. You must enter 2023 with a correct understanding. You will live and you will not die. You will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living in Jesus' name. But you know, it's not automatic because I shout Jesus' name. I'm serious. That's where we got it wrong. We have to have understanding. And by the time I finish, by the grace and the mercy of God, it will become clear to you what the will of God is concerning this issue and its vital importance in the fulfillment of your own personal destiny and by extension, the destiny of the church, and by extension, the destiny of the nation. The more strong Christians we have, the quicker God can do what he wants to do in the nation. Many people do not realize that the destiny of an entire nation can rest in the hands of just a few men. Look at Babylon. Four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, controlled the destiny of an empire because they knew God and changed the course of history and human events of an entire empire, and they were foreigners there. Yet they commanded such power and respect that Nebuchadnezzar God had to discipline a king, an emperor. And he said, now I know that the Most High rules in the affairs of men, and they that walk in pride he is able to abase through the ministry of four men. We have more than four here. And we are living under a better testament established upon better promises. I want to challenge you. That's why I had the choir. I chose that song today. We're looking at the song we're going to judge. I said, let's sing. Lord, I offer my life to you. That's what God, he just needs. I was talking about Paul this morning. Paul, one man who was totally sold out. And God got one man to write two-thirds of the New Testament. Take Paul's letters out. You have nothing. You can't even understand the four Gospels without the epistles. Shows you how much God can do if one person or a few people consecrate completely. He will have an avenue, a portal, a set of people through whom he can fulfill his will. He doesn't need a crowd. The crowd is just there in the background, you know, for the corporate effect and all of that. But because many people are not very consecrated, then he looks for the few. And then he channels the power that the multitude generate and puts it through those ones, you know, to fulfill his will and his purpose. The second thing I was going to say, you know what reminded me? I saw some people sleeping. As I'm preaching now, some people are sleeping. I see their eyes. You know, and people are going to say, oh, you know, we did all night, watch night service, then we went home, we did good morning, Jesus. Oh, I'm tired and all of that. Look at me. I'm 63 years old. You have been sitting, I've been standing. I stood through the Bible study. Aren't I tired? You did not prepare the message I did. When I got home last night, like I told you, my wife and I ate not too much, but I ate a little, you know, because I knew I was coming to preach. Then I went to bed. I slept for 1 hour. Just one. Nobody woke me up. No alarm clock. I woke up 3:45. I usually wake up 3:30. But I woke up 3:45. I slept 30 minutes, not 1 hour. Because I went to bed past 3. I woke up. I went to check my wife. My wife didn't go to bed. She just sat on the chair so she wouldn't sleep. And then, you know, we started praying. We did all the prayer, the good morning Jesus prayer and all of that, you know. I finished all my prayers, you know, by 7. Because I put the service at 10, so I took a 1 hour nap between 7 and about 8. You know, past a little bit past 8. Got up, changed, freshened up myself because I had my bath the night before, you know. Drove myself to church. I'm saying this for a reason. I'm not saying it to make you feel bad. I'm saying this as I'm challenging you. The Bible says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know? And here I was. 9 o'clock. I was one of the first people to get to church. I was here by about just 9. Maybe 5 minutes past 9. Many people hadn't yet come. I go upstairs to my office. I wasn't sleeping. I was praying. Preparing for the service. You know? Pastor Andrew came. Sister Yemi came. We looked through the songs for the something, checked everything, you know. And here I was, did the Bible study, came through all the something. I'm a little tired, but not that. Because the life of God is should be manifest in your mortal flesh. You know, what you are seeing, even though it is not spectacular, is supernatural. It's supernatural. And I get up to this afternoon, we're not having 3 hours after. But somebody has to pay that price. And guess who? Me. I'm going to pray. Pray a little bit. I'm going to rest. I will rest and all of that. Tomorrow too. It's a public holiday. I will rest and I will pray. What I'm saying is this. His grace is sufficient. God will strengthen you. It all comes down to what you are willing to do. And what you prioritize. And what you think is important. You know, I said this last night. When I said it jokingly. When the Holy Spirit said, don't mind them. He said, if it's something secular. You understand? People will do all night. You know, sleep for 1 hour. You know, if you have, for example, in the days when we used to go to the American Embassy. I will remember. You know, at the British Embassy. In the Abacha days. In order to go and get your visa. I still remember. You know, sometimes you have to get to that Victoria at 4:30 a.m. And people will sometimes they'll go to nightclub. Or they go out to a party. You know, American Embassy tomorrow, you wake up quick. Quick. And you'll be there. You'll go through all of that, go into the queue, do the interview, and then it goes to work. He's not going to tell his organ that, yo, I went to American Embassy. You have to still report. Because he has a motivation. Because the American visa is important to him. His work is important to him. So he will make the effort and the sacrifice. But when it comes to the things of God, I'm tired. Oh, I spent 3 hours. Come on, folks. That's why God spoke to me last night. Said, don't mind them. If it's something that is important to them, they will make the sacrifice. How many times do we have all night, watch night service and service back to back? Once in 7 years. It's not every day. Why do we find it difficult? Why is it that we are not motivated to make that a priority? Whereas if it was something important to you in your personal life, you will do it. If I'm telling the truth, give me a wave offering. Then give the Lord a clap offering. I just got you. Then turn to your neighbor and say, therefore, pay attention and you must not sleep. Now give the Lord another clap offering. I just got your number. Long life. What is God's definition of long life? Traditionally, Christians think it's 70 to 80 years, but it is not. That, I'm going to, you know, move fast, because all of these things, many of you have heard them before in the past, so I'm just going to mention them, and by the grace of God, Brother Bimbo and Sister Shola, they're able to flash the scriptures behind me, so I don't have to turn to the scriptures, and you can see them as I'm talking. When the Bible says the days of our lives are 70, and if by reason, he was talking about the rebellious Jews who were in the wilderness, and God had sworn that they would not enter the promised land. Watch this. They came out when the adults, remember, this was what they said. This was what happened. When they rebelled and said they brought us to the wilderness to kill us and our children, and God was so angry, God wanted to destroy all of them. Moses interceded. I said, oh Lord, don't do that. The Egyptians would think you couldn't deliver them. So God said, I've heard. I'm not going to do that, but I'm still going to kill them. But let me say, allow them to die. Maybe that's more palatable, but you know, he said, none of them except Joshua and Caleb, 20 years old and above, we enter the promised land. Do a small calculation. If all the world 20 years ago, how long did they spend in the wilderness? 60 years. Sorry, 40 years. That makes 60 for the youngest. So if you're looking at the people who are middle age, if you're looking at the guy who was averagely 30, 40, the mature ones, by the time you're looking at 40 years, that's where you get the 70 and the 80 from. Am I talking to anybody here? That's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about us. And, you know, it's because of their rebellion that they were, let's read it, because, you know, you're looking at me funny. Look at Psalm 90, scripture everybody knows. You know, people just quote the Bible and they don't quote it in context. If you look at, and I'm going to read from verse 9 and 10 very quickly, and it's going to be from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible. Thank you, Jesus. Right. And so here we see, it said, for all our days, verse 9 in the Amplified Bible, for all our days out here in this wilderness, says Moses, pass away in your wrath because of their rebellion. We spend our years as a tale that is told. For we adults, not the children, we adults know we are doomed to die soon without reaching Canaan. Verse 10, that's the one we all quote. The days of our years are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. The average person then would die between 70 and 80 in the wilderness because they're not going to the promised land. But 70 and 80 is not God's limit. And as a man thinketh in his heart, it is very wrong of you to think in your heart, 70 and 80, I'm getting older, you know, I can die at any time. Once you believe that, that's usually what will happen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I am 63, by the grace and the mercy of God. I still think as if I'm 20. I'm telling you the truth. You see me? The other day, we were watching World Cup in my house. Me, Pastor Buega, Pastor Kule. If you see how we are shouting, you think we are 20-year-old boys. Why? I'm still young in my mind. And I'm not thinking that 70. I have 7 years to 70. You know, maybe I have to retire. Retire what? My life has just started. But it's a mentality I had to reprogram my thinking. You must reprogram your thinking. I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me say this. It's one of the reasons why you need to put the life of God into your physical body every day. It does two things. Number one, it keeps you healthy. It's medicine to all your flesh. But number two, which is what I want to emphasize now, it causes your youth to be renewed like the eagles. People see my wife and I say, you look as if you are in your 50s. We looked at something that was Pastor Wally was telling me, I think. you know, when we're doing the programs for, you know, my birthday and all of those things, you know, if you look at our pictures when we were 50, we look younger now when we were 60 than the pictures of when we were 50. Why? The life of God is in operation. I'm going to look younger in 10 years' time than I'm looking now. I certainly intend to. By the grace and the mercy of God. I yet not I, but the grace of God which is within me. It's all a question of, as a man thinketh, what do you believe? According to your faith, so be it unto you. So then, what is God's definition of long life? Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Excuse me. Genesis. Where are you? Thank you. And we're just going to look at, I think it's verse 3 or verse 4. Yeah. Yeah. You can go back to the King James now. Go back to the King James. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, that he also is flesh, excuse me. Yet his days shall be what? 120 years. And then you see Moses, that typifies, it was Kelly Verner in his book, you know, says that God has a son every 2,000 years. Remember that? Remember that revelation? You understand? Moses, after 2,000 years from the fall. Then Jesus, 2,000 years after Moses. Then now we, 2,000 years after Jesus, he now has the man child. Give yourself a clap offering, somebody. So following that pattern, Moses said, you know, the Bible says of Moses, he said, and he lived to 120 years. Watch this. His natural strength was not abated, and his eye was not dim. I'll tell you the reason why Moses was like that. Moses had the life of God operating on his flesh. He goes to the presence of God. He doesn't eat or drink water for 40 days. That's supernatural. You can't do that in the natural. Because he was in the Shekinah presence of God. When he came down from the mountain, his face was shining that the children of Israel could not look on his face. So he had to put a veil there. No wonder why the man at 120 did not have his natural strength abated. I'll tell you another thing I never thought of. It was when I took Josh Olubi to Fork Union in America. You know, he had done so well. He had 4 A's, you know. So I just said, look, 1 year of military exposure will be good for him, you know, for him to just, you know. And it's really helped him. Even in his CV, it always helps him, you know, when they see he has, he's a cadet. If you and Joshua go to America and you're on the queue and they see that he has military, they'll just bypass you and they give him special. Yes. Oh, but they treat the military so well. Same thing with William. Once you are a veteran or you're military, they will give you another line. You don't line with the normal human beings. So one of his instructors, lovely guy, Christian, black guy, he was telling me about Moses. He said, Pastor, have you ever thought about this? An 80-year-old man carrying, Pastor Brigger, 2 heavy stones on which God had written the 10 commandments. You climb up. Have you, Pastor Wale, no, Pastor Larry, and who else was with us? Pastor Andrew, did you go with us? When we went to Boma Hills in 2000, and we had to climb this hill, you know, in Adamawa State, you know, and then we crossed over into Cameroon on one of our missionary trips where we saw people who were wearing leaves, you know. And some of the pastors, I can't remember who else went with us on that trip. I know Wale did, but Wale was sick, so we left him downstairs. You know, but Larry and I and some other brethren, Elvon was there. Elvon was recording everything. You know, it took us 4 hours climbing up the mountain. And we had ropes tied to each other. So that if you stop feeling somebody, you're wondering where he is. It's a true story. I was 40 years old then. It was 1999. I was 41, 42, something like that. You know? Anyway, the thing from that story is that I know what it is to climb a mountain. 80-year-old man carrying 2 stones. The man had to have, he was fit. He did it twice. You know why? When he came down and they were watching the golden calf, Moses was so angry. He threw it there and the thing was destroyed. So God said, I hewed the first one out for you. This one you will hew yourself. So he come back up the mountain. Then he had to take instruments to hew the stone out. Then when he hewed the stone out, God now used his laser beam, the power of God that came from his hand, to write the Ten Commandments on the 2 new hewed stones. Then Moses had to take the 2 of them and climb down back. Give Moses a super clap offering, somebody. I'm about to shock you into reality. And that was Old Testament. There's no reason why we shouldn't have people like Moses in the New Testament. Even better. I'm going to share a secret with you. I didn't plan to, but I've been primed to. I haven't made this public, what I'm about to say. I prayed for myself privately. But I'm going to tell you, and when God tells me to, I'll make it, you know, public. In other words, I will update our prayers. You know that prayer that we pray every day for the fullness of God? That Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, that become more rooted and grounded in love, you know, in our wills, that, you know, we'll be able to comprehend with all saints in our minds what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the body of Christ, you know, that we might know in our emotions the love of Christ is greater than knowledge, like Christ showed the Samaritan woman in spite of his knowledge of her sins, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God is where it stops for you. But let me tell you where it goes for me. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God, that the life of God will be made manifest in my mortal flesh. I pray this every day. Empowering, consistent, instant healing of the sick, cleansing of lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils, incredible photographic memory, language learning ability, artistic ability, musical ability. That, I'm trying to remember the part, you know, mathematical ability, so that I will consistent physical, intellectual, political, economic, and environmental miracles. But I'm not done yet. All this I was taught by the Holy Spirit. Like and better that was shown in Joseph, in Moses, in Elisha, in Esther, in Mordecai, and in Daniel. And I expect that prayer to be completely answered. Why better? Because we're under a better testament established upon better promises. Like and better than shown. Those ones were given to us as examples in the Old Testament. Now he said he's a better testament. So I'm taking God at his word. Political, physical, healing the sick, raising the dead. That's a small part of, it's not small, but it's an important part. You know, the intellectual miracles, like you see in Daniel. Political miracles, like you see in Esther and Mordecai. Economic miracles, like you see in Joseph. Environmental miracles, like you see in Elisha, you see in Moses. All that is coming to pass before Jesus comes. Is where we're going. And don't believe for anything less. So that is God's definition of long life. Now, so long life is 120, you know, and it's not even a limit, it's just an idea. Yeah, it depends on you, you know. It depends on what you are satisfied with. Job lived 140. You know? So, but let's just keep it simple and leave it at 120. You know? And Jesus is coming soon anyway. I don't think any of us need to live up to 120. But you know, it depends on how old you are now and what you want to believe God for. Why long life? Why this great amount of time? To give us time to be satisfied that we have finished our course. Once you have finished your course, you and God can choose where, when, and how you die. 2 Timothy, because of time, you know, 4:6, where it says, Paul said, I've run the race, I've finished my course. Then in Philippians, you know, that was earlier on. That was the second. Timothy was later on. But earlier on in Philippians, Paul said, you know, I'm in a strait between two. I don't know whether I should die and go to be with the Lord, which is far better. He said, but to stay in the flesh is more needful for you. So he stayed in the flesh for a little more years and wrote, thank God. Give Paul another super clap offering. Thank God he wrote those epistles for us. If he had died, we won't have some of those epistles. Then when he finished all the epistles, including Hebrews, he now wrote Timothy and said, the time of my offering is at hand. It wasn't Nero that killed Paul. It was Paul who allowed him to die the death of a martyr to give courage to the other saints who are undergoing super great persecution. So if Paul did it, then I can do it. You know, because Paul was so revered in the church. That a crown of righteousness is laid up for me. I've finished my course. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give unto me. And not to me only. Paul was such an honest man. Not unto me only, but also unto all those who love him and serve him. So what am I saying? That is God's, that, like I said at the beginning, to be generous, our understanding before was not wrong, it's just incomplete. This, what I've given you now is complete understanding about what long life is. Now, the reason why we need to have long life is that the major part of your destiny is usually fulfilled in the latter part of your life. Why? Because it takes time to grow, to get the wisdom, the power, and the prosperity to fulfill the fullness of your destiny. I'm going to repeat that. The reason why long life is important is that the major part of our destinies are usually fulfilled. The only exception is probably Joseph. Because Joseph finished very quickly. By the time Joseph was 44, 45, he hadn't really finished, but he had fulfilled most of it because he brought his dad back. Joseph's destiny was to save the nation of Israel and the other nations from the famine that would have finished. The famine would have killed the entire family. So God sent Joseph ahead to Egypt to preserve Egypt and the nations around, and including his family, bring his family from Canaan to Egypt. They came into Egypt as a family. They left as a nation. Give the Lord a clap offering. The destiny, watch this. The destiny of the nation of Israel was inside the family of Jacob, including the Messiah. That is why Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What would have happened if Judah died? Touch your neighbor, say, God knows what he's doing. That's why. Watch this. Even though Joseph brought them in at 44, he still had to be around to look after them in a foreign land. Those Egyptians are very unstable. So long as Joseph was alive, you understand, they respected and revered Joseph, and they would not touch his brothers. Had Joseph died at 60, God forbid, or something like that, and he was no longer there, they probably would not accord to the family the same love and kindness and hospitality that they showed them. It was Joseph's presence. So even though Joseph had brought them in at 44, he still had to live all of those years to make sure that that generation fulfilled its destiny. They died, and their children, and by that time, they were established as a nation in Egypt. Turn to your neighbor again and say, God knows what he's doing. Long life has its great, great, great significance. Look at my mother, who by the grace of God just died. Died at 94. And as I'm thinking back and thanking God, the Yorubas have a wonderful saying. Entoba monuro amopeda. When my mother was 80 in 20, it was 2008. It was 2008. That was when the armed robbers came to my house. Me and my wife put a gun to her head like this. What if I had died? What happened to my mom? We couldn't celebrate her 80th birthday that time because of that incident. Long life is very important. Those extra years gave me time to be able to talk to her, get her born again. I just use that as an example. So it is crucial to live long. The greater part of your destiny is usually fulfilled in the latter part of your life. And I'm going to use two examples. The first one is Jesus. Jesus, the major part of Jesus' prophetic destiny was fulfilled in those 3 years. Everything between 0 and 30, only a few things were fulfilled. He was born of a virgin. That one was fulfilled. You know, he had more understanding than his teachers. Some of the things that are in the prophetic scriptures. But the very important ones were not fulfilled until when he was 30. 30 to 33. Then the last 24 hours was even more important. That's when he fulfilled all the scriptures in Isaiah. He had borne our sicknesses. He had carried our disease. All that was on the cross. That was why Jesus was very careful when he was here. See, Jesus was not like many of us. He was not presumptuous. The Bible says, and when he knew they tried to kill him, he walked no longer in Judea. Why? A prophet must not perish outside Jerusalem. To fulfill the prophetic scriptures, he had to die in Jerusalem. He had to die on a cross. Or Psalm 22 cannot be fulfilled. They will not have pierced his hands and his feet. Are you listening to me? That's why you need to know the Bible. You need to know what God has said about you. So you need to know where you should be to fulfill your destiny. Am I talking to anybody here? If you're still on my side, give me another wave offering. And then the Lord a clap offering. I'm soon going to be done. I can see some people still, you know. God will have mercy on you. The second person, of course, is Moses. The Moses we know today is the Moses of the last 40 years. If Moses had died at 80, we would have said that the man lived a good life. Let me say it in Yoruba, so I will, you know, get your thinking. Then I'll translate to English. Ah. Ofeyawo. Obimo. Okole. Killing your tufe. And he did. Those years in Midian, in Jethro, he married. He had two sons. He had a flock. He had a good life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. This Christianity is not about material possessions. Unbelievers that go to hell marry, they have children, they build houses, they have fine cars, but that is not destiny. man, stop thinking like that. Most Christians think like that. That's, I've not yet built a house. I've not bought a car. Then conventional jeep. As if jeep is inside the Bible for destiny. Our thinking is so warped. There's nothing wrong having a jeep. You know, I have jeeps. But that's not my destiny. Those are just the byproducts of my following God. Because God delights in the prosperity of his servant. So you will get the jeep. But you see, the jeep is not your destiny. And once the jeep starts disturbing good morning Jesus, I just use that as an example. That's what happens. When people prosper materially, their consecration to God diminishes. You can check it in the scriptures. And when King Uzziah became strong, his heart was lifted up. It's a intrinsic part of the satanic nature. And if you don't get rid of the satanic nature in your soul, it will happen. You will say, oh, no, I can never do that. I remember Jehu. It was God who raised Jehu up. Jehu killed Jezebel. Jehu killed the prophets of Baal. But Jehu served Baal more than them. When he became strong. That's why God told him, when you get a king, this book will not depart. Because the only thing that will keep his heart. Look at Solomon. Even David, thank God David repented and came back. And because David kept the word of God in his heart, and God had mercy on him and helped him. There's something. What would make a whole King David? The sweet psalmist of Israel, the author of the book of Psalms, see a small girl, maybe in her late teens or early 20s, who is old enough to be her grandfather, and not be able to take his eye away. I preached it many times. You know, David didn't think of murder. Mm-mm. He just wanted to have fun. Ah, fine girl. You know, I'll just have fun with her for one night. I'll send her back to her husband. He had no intention of marrying her. No. Or killing Uzziah. No. You know. But you have to ask the question, what made him think he could do it? I am king. I am king. I have the power. I have the influence. Of course, it boomeranged and cost him more than he could ever think. But the point I'm making is this. Material prosperity without the corresponding spiritual prosperity will lead to ruin. Write it down. It's an unfailing truth. That is why in this fulfillment of destiny thing, God usually, he'll prosper, he'll give you food and raiment. But most times he will not give you the big thing until when he knows that that work has been done in your heart. Then he will now give you this mega prosperity with which you can fulfill your destiny. That's why you have to live long. When I look at myself now, I'm 63 by the grace and the mercy of God. I am, by the grace of God, more mature now. I have better understanding, you know. If I had had something, if I had when I was 40, I probably would have misbehaved. I was prosperous at 40, but not like this. I couldn't handle it. May God have mercy on us. Don't worry, I'm closing soon. Now, how do you guarantee long life? Before I answer those questions, everybody go with me to the book of Proverbs. There are so many scriptures there. I'm going to take a few of them, not all of them. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. My son, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For what? Length of days and long life and peace. Shall they what? It means it wasn't there before. It had to be added. This is a great truth. You have to understand that there is no such thing as Akole Oluwani. And that God has specified a number of days for you. No. What you do or do not do can either add or subtract. I'm going to show you some more scripture. You know? Now, Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse 16. Psalm 91, verse 16, which we're going to come back to. No, not that one. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Understand, it's conditional. Oh, my son, everybody, open your mouth. And receive my sayings. And the years of your life shall be many. Turn to your neighbor and say, if you don't receive his sayings, the years of your life may not be many. You know, this is the kind of truth that they don't like to hear in the church. Everybody wants this. In Jesus' name, you will live long. It's not like that. You will live long in Jesus' name. But these are the conditions. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is me. Thank God you have a good pastor who is feeding you with knowledge and understanding so you will live long. That's why people don't live long, because they don't read these scriptures. I'm not done yet. I'll give you another one. This is that all is in Proverbs. That's why you should read Proverbs every day. Look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 11. Talking about wisdom. He said, the fear of the Lord, verse 10, and then verse 11. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, wisdom, shall thy days be what? Multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be what? Increased. So it can't be fixed. It's a lie of the devil. Don't believe it. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The years of the wicked shall be shortened. Who is the wicked? Those that cast instruction behind them. They hear the word of God. Hey, madam, Pastor, be sorted. It's in Psalm 50. What has the wicked, what do you have to do to take my covenant into your mouth? Since you cast it behind you. He said their life will be shortened. So you can see, I can give you more. There are plenty. You can go and do your Bible study and dig them out. But what I have established in the mouth of two or three witnesses, I've given you more than that. It is an established fact that the degree to which you walk in the wisdom and the word of God would determine your longevity. It is not that God has ordained a particular day and time, Akole Oluwani, Boluwase Sone, you know, and that's human tradition. It is true God has a part to play with it, but you have a part to play with it. Finally, let's now look at the two or three conditions that guarantee this long life. Me, Olubi Johnson, who's talking to you, I would have died years ago. I'm talking about years. You know, I was crying when my mom died. I didn't cry much, you know, of course. You know, like I was telling Sister Sarah, on our way home after watch night service, I said, I'm missing mommy. Because normally she would have called me. Bentley, Olubi, Sarah! I missed it. You know, but she's in a better place. So I'm not weeping. But one of the reasons why I cried was I know the sacrifices my mother made to give us a good life when I was young. In those, you see, my dad did very well too, but my dad only built on the foundation my mom laid. If my mom had not laid the foundation, my dad would have had nothing to work on. She gave us a good education. I went to Corona, then I went to Adrawa International School. We lived in Ikoyi. I lived a very good life. My mother, exposure, you know, films, cartoons, all the things I know today. It was my mom. My mom bought a television. I remember when we were still in Surulere before we moved to Ikoyi. You know, the day they brought the television, all the neighbors came out to our house. The whole street. Because people have never seen television before. But it was my house. Flintstones, Thunderbirds, you know, all these, they all exposed me and changed my thinking. But I cried because my brother died. My immediate senior, junior brother. That's Larissa's dad. My other brother too, God has had mercy on us, still having mercy on him. The only difference with me was I gave my life to Christ. If I didn't become a Christian, when I became a Christian 20, gerege. I graduated at 19, by the grace of God, very brilliant, by the grace of the mercy of God, you know, looking back now, you know, got a first class, you know, went on youth corps. Oh my God. The things I did. If it was not the mercy and the grace of God, I would have died. I would have died. We would ride Harley Davidson from Ecom to Calabar. Motorbike. True story. Not once, not twice. I won't tell you the rest. All I'll just say is, if boys did it, we did it. Yeah, that's enough. But you know, God kept me. Because he saw my heart. And he had been chasing me from Form 3 in secondary school. I wouldn't listen. Then I came to UI. I put me next to a Christian. I almost gave my life to Christ. Aborted it. You know, I can imagine God saying, this boy. Thank God I listened. I would have died and gone to hell. At 19, I was smoking. 17, 18. Packets. Then I got born again. And God took the cigarette, pew, miraculously. Took away the girls. Took away the drink. I wasn't much of a drinker, but I used to drink a little, you know. And all the rubbish and nonsense. God was looking at me. He was looking at my mother. What will happen to this mother, to this woman, if anything happens to this boy? That's the God we serve. Give another super clap offering. God is a good God. I would have died. He would have forgotten I even came. And my mother would not have lasted. I'm sure about that. Because she literally sacrificed her life for us. She was a very pretty woman and very well connected in Lagos. Mommy Dupe will tell you. Very well connected. She could have remarried, chased after her new home and career, and they would have just pushed us to one side. My dad too remarried. So we would have just been, you know, this kind of children where nobody is even. That would have been our story. But my mother didn't do that. A clap offering for my mom. She remarried later, but by that time I was already in university. We were well established and everything, so it was okay. And she did it for companionship, which I fully agreed with, you know. And I thank God she had a little bit of happiness, you know, so I was happy for that. But you see, if she didn't make those sacrifices, I won't be who I am today. Even the Bible, I understand the knowledge and the wisdom and the education. I would not have had that exposure to understand the Bible. So, if you want to live long, in the definition of the Bible, number one commandment, honor your biological and spiritual parents. Ephesians chapter 6. Honor, everybody, let's turn to it. It's not enough for me to quote it. Ephesians chapter 6. How many people want to live long? You know, so many people already are aborting their lives and their destinies by the way, the attitude they have towards their parents, both biological and spiritual. You cannot go foul if in your heart you keep cursing the man of God or despising them. You know what the Bible says? It says, note them which are over you in the Lord. He said, and esteem them highly. Not for their personality sake, for their work sake. Because God knows this Bible. That if you do it, it will guarantee your long life. You don't do it, it will affect it. No matter how much you try and pray. You see, because you see, they are saying that there are principles in the Word of God. When you rebel and you have a wrong attitude towards your parents, you are telling God what you are going to do to God Himself. Am I talking to anybody here? If you are still awake, give me a clap of a wave offering. And then turn it into a clap offering for the Lord. Young people are sleeping. This is not the kind of message you... This is the first Sunday of the year. I am laying the foundation for 2023. You will live long. And you will declare the glory of God. You will not be cut short. You will not be cut short in the middle of your days. There's another scripture. I see somewhere in Proverbs chapter 17. Talked about the wicked. He says they will not live out half their days. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 6. Am I talking to anybody here? Ephesians chapter 6. Where are you? Yeah, there you go. Honor thy father and thy mother. I want everybody to open their mouth. Everybody stand up, stand up, stand up. I know what I'm doing. I may believe I have the Holy Ghost. Except for the elderly or the infirm. If you're elderly and infirm, no. People like Mumitukwe can skip. But rest. Stand up. You know why? I want to get your attention. I don't want you to be sleeping when you read the scripture. So your head will be correct. In Yoruba, say, Oriakwe. Because of its great... People do not know how important this truth is. Everybody, let us read it together. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. Now sit down. If you dishonor your father or your mother, biological and spiritual, not only will it not be well with you. Someone says, are you cursing me? Mm-mm. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You will not live long. God is wise. He knows what he, that's why he tied it. He tied that commandment to a promise. If there is one thing God cannot stick, it is rebellion. And dishonoring of your parents. I don't say if they are good or bad. He says, honor your father and your mother. It's the first foundation. Both spiritual and biological. And I learned that lesson early when I was young. My mom and her sisters, Mrs. Biobako of blessed memory, and Professor Dutola of blessed memory, they're all dead now, you know. They were so worried about me. They thought that somebody was doing me. You know the Yorubas,
you know where what it do rieru ori olubi ope mo. They were really worried. No, seriously. You know, so they came to Ibadan to come and take me. They had to lie to me. They said my grandmother was sick. This is 1981, 82. My grandmother's still alive. My maternal grandmother, that's my mommy's mommy. And I was very attached to her emotionally because she was a wonderful woman. So I said, okay, let's go. They put me inside the car. Mrs. Biobaku sat here. Professor Dutola sat here. They put me in the middle. My mother was in front. We get to Lagos. We're not going to Bangoshe. Before I know it, we're in Luth. In Iyaba. In Sule. You know, my auntie was a professor in Luth. Using her influence and everything. Before I know it, they take me out of the car, put me inside one room, lock the door. True story. One young, I'm sure, looking back, I think it was a house officer or something. So one young doctor, I was older than him anyway, came in and started clacking me. And what's wrong with you? You know, what are you feeling? So I got the gist. So I said to him, I'm an SU. You know what SU is? I'm a Christian. So my parents think my head has, I said, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm perfectly normal. He asked me a few questions. I answered his questions. I said, I'm fine. I said, they're just doing out of anxiety and all of that. So they couldn't keep me. Then I called my dad. My dad was very angry. But I said, why should my mom do such a thing? You know, and he didn't tell her. I said, so anyway, cut a long story short. I was discharged the next day because there was nothing. I remember wanting to join Jesus' club and Paul's club. All of us, they said we were mad. They said Jesus was mad. They said Paul was mad. And they said Olubi was mad. So, welcome to the club. Are you listening to me? So, I come back to, I was furious. Angry. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. Honor your father and your mother. He said, your mommy did what she thought was best. It was wrong, but her motive was pure. She's trying to save her son, who she has invested her life in. Call her. There was no mobile phone in those days. So I had to go to maintenance. I remember me. It's like a set, it's like dinosaurs ago. That's the only way you could call Lagos. To make it, and you queue. Well, how many people are there? There are about two or three, four boots. Anyway. So I call my mom. You know, I said, Mommy, this is Olubi. I said, Mommy, I didn't like what you did. I said, but I know the reason you did it. And it's okay. And I said, you know, I don't want you to worry anymore. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. And in a few years' time, you will see what I'm talking about. And everything is going to be okay. And you know, my mom is a very lovely woman. You know what she said? She said, okay. Since you said so, I won't do anything. I said, don't worry. I'll be fine. I'm not throwing my life away. I'm serving God. God will bless me, and you will see it. And she did in her lifetime, to the glory of God. Same thing with my dad. Everybody was so worried, you know. Same thing with Boju spirits. Professor Dr. Oyemade and Professor Ms. Oyemade, who's still alive, you know. They sent her to, she came to physics department through Professor Oni and said, there is one, that Boju is following there, that Olubi, he's going to the same church. He said, you know, and Olubi is doing well, so he would talk to him. So Mr. Imadi came to see me. So I told her, I said, don't worry about Poju. He's going to be fine. And Poju is fine today. Give the Lord a clap of it. Our God is a good God. Are you listening to me? So honoring your father. So my God told me, he said, don't dishonor your mother. And I won't go to Lagos again. I won't see them. God said, don't do that. Don't dishonor your mother. Honor her. She's trying to do her best. And with time, you know, They began to see God was behind us. And God blessed us and used us to bless them. So, you know, this is a very important thing. Number two, we're going to close in a minute. Walk in love to God and man. Not only to God, but also man. And this is what we see in Psalm 91, verses 9 through 16. Because of time, I won't read everything. But it says that because he has made me his habitation, he said, therefore will I deliver him. He said, because he has set his love upon me, with long life I will satisfy him. The condition for long life is walking in love to God and to man. Daily prayer for more humility, meekness, 6 hourly prayers to walk in love towards God and men, effectual fervent prayer in the spirit, 1 to 3 hours daily, in between, frequent tongues. Am I talking to anybody here? Don't worry, we're going to close in a minute. So you will be, this part is very important. It was added this morning by the Holy Spirit to me. The other part, I had written it a few days ago. So you will be led by the Spirit to fulfill your destiny, causing all things, this is the praying in the Spirit now, to work together for your good. Psalm Romans 8:10, you know, and if Christ being you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that raised Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. Oh, it can cut your life short. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, that he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things work together. All that is part of long life. This is like following a navigator, like Google Maps. In order for you to use a navigator properly, you need it to be plugged in. If the phone loses charge, you can't use it. So you need to be connected to the power source. That's life of God prayer. As you move with the navigator, sometimes you may miss a turn. It will reprogram you. But you want to avoid missing turns. The reason is that every time it reprograms, you lose time. And you don't want to do that. And in life, that's, you know, with a car. But in life, one turn may mean a 5-year reroute. It's too expensive. So you want to avoid that. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Almost. How many people believe that this message was important enough to keep you here this long? How many want to live long? You're not going to die this 2023. You know, Satan is always, intimidating Christians. Especially Christians who don't know the Bible enough. You come and whisper to you, hey, this year, you will see. You will see. He's done that to me so many times. I laugh at him. But when he first did it, you know, it wasn't funny. He said, you want to go to Nigeria? I was in England. He said, remember Stephen? He said, remember, you know, the guy knows the Bible. The devil knows the Bible better than you. He said, Stephen, with all his talker, he said, shh. So you will see, you go to Nigeria, I will finish you. And true to his word, within 3 months I was in Nigeria, a
trailer almost smashed me on the Volkswagen my mom just bought for me. It was on Sheraton, that road in Ikeja. I will never forget it. The Holy Ghost just said, step aside. I step aside. That trailer go, wow! And you know, a young boy, I was 20, 21. You're afraid. But I made up my mind, though. Live or die, I'm going to serve God. That's the mentality we Christians need to. In this life, we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. And God help me. And here I am today. He's been telling me that for many. You will live. You will be here in 2024. In this same service. And say it boldly to the devil. Don't be afraid. You know, many of us say it. I will live. I will not die. I will live long and fulfill my destiny and carry the glory of God. I will honor my father and my mother. I will keep the commandment of love. I will pray in tongues effectually, fervently, sufficiently. I will live. I will not die. Give yourselves a super clap offering. You will live. Don't mind him. The power of your life is not in his hand. If you fulfill God's conditions, God will protect you. And he will see to it you make it. And you will live as long as you want. There's no such thing as there's a date that is fixed. It's not true. You and God will decide. If the rapture hasn't yet happened and you feel you have finished your course, maybe because you are in your 90s or 100 or 110 and you say, well, Lord, you know, I've done all the things I want to do and, you know, and you are satisfied with it and all of that. Say, okay, God, I want to come home now. You go. As a personal thing between you and God. But if you're young on the younger side like us, I'm only in my 60s and I expect Jesus to come in 20 to 30 years. So by the time Jesus comes, I'll probably be in my 80s or my 90s. I certainly intend to be alive. I do not think I am going to go to heaven through the grave. I'm going through the sky. And I'm inviting you to join me. Hallelujah! There's a generation of us that will not see death. For we shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Glory be to God. So there is a company of Christians that is destined not to sleep. And we are that generation. But these are the conditions. It's not automatic. So those of you who have been dishonoring your pastor, despise not your mother when she's old. Do you know there are people, because their parents, maybe they are old now, they don't have too much money, and they just treat them anyhow. One of the things I was so glad that God helped Mommy Sarah and I, give my wife a super clap offering. Because of her leg, you know, that's why she couldn't come. And I told her to rest. She said, oh, you know, Shema, binu money mo, binu, stay home, stay at home and rest. You know, the wonderful woman. You know, my wife treated my mother like her mother and looked after her. Really looked after her. And I'm so grateful. You know, my wife and I were saying this time when we buried her, you know, one of the things that the people in the family and everybody, it was not when she now died we spent money. It's when they're alive you spend the money. You also spend it when they die. That's why we're joined, you know, around. But when they are alive, that's the time to look after them. Make sure they are comfortable. See to their needs and all of that. It's very important. Many people, they neglect their parents, push them to one side, you know, because they want to enjoy their own life. Don't look after your parents. Then when they die, now make a show. The person is dead, you know. You're making a show for who?
honor your father. Let us pray. It's time to close this service. Otherwise, you won't go home today. How many people agree that this is a very important message? And the first day of the year, there are many who have been, Satan has been planning to kill you. Psalm 102. But we broke it this afternoon. And those of you who are watching on TV too, on YouTube or Facebook, we broke that thing today. You will not die. And tell him to his face. Tell Satan to his face. And don't be afraid. Say, I will honor my father and my mother. I will keep the commandment of love. I will pray in the spirit. I will live and I will not die or be. Yes. That's how to deal with Satan. I haven't said that in ages. God said, do that to him. He can't do anything to you. Eh? I have a great Lord, the spoiler of principalities and powers, the possessor of the keys of death and hell. What can he do? The only thing he can do is when I let him, by not keeping the commandments. But if I keep the commandments, there's nothing he can do. Shepherd of my soul, what is worth?
Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow.
I have made a choice.
I have made a choice.
So listen. The shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I fail? Shepherd of my soul. Oh, sing it.
Shepherd of my soul.
Lord, I give you full control.
I give you full control.
Wherever you may
be. Wherever you may be.
Oh, Lord,
I will follow.
I have made the choice.
I have made a choice.
To listen for your voice. The shepherd of my soul,
shepherd of my soul,
is by my side.
And should I fail, the mighty mountain,
the valley
dark and deep,
the shepherd,
of my soul, is now my.
Put one hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. As they were singing that song, the Holy Spirit added something for me. What I told you this afternoon is a 3 combination lock. Honor your father and your mother. Walk in love. Pray in the Spirit. Don't remove any of the locks. Some people are thinking, I know somebody who honors father, he still died. Did he pray in the Spirit? Usually that's the one where the people fail. And 2 and 3 are joined together. You,
The degree to which you can really walk in divine love is the degree to which you have the Word and the Spirit. And like Job, that's where most Christians fail. Not commission, but omission. So they look after their parents, they honor their father, and they honor all of that, you know. But this other aspect of walking in love by the Spirit, you find that, you know, you just do like Job. You see, Job had good moral works. He did this, he did that. But there was that other aspect that was missing. And if Satan had discovered, he would have killed him. But God called Satan's attention to it and then took a concession from him. So you can touch everything that he has, but you don't touch his life. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I have heard your word tonight or this afternoon. Oh God, I thank you for bringing me this truth about long life and fulfillment of my destiny at the beginning of this year. So I determine in my heart, by your mercy and grace, to keep this word. I repent where I've neglected these instructions, where I've dishonored my parents, biological or spiritual, where I've not walked in love towards you and my fellow man, and where I've not prayed in the Spirit effectually, fervently, and in sufficient measure. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, fresh life into my spirit to enable me to pray now. As I determine, as I go into 2023, I declare with my mouth, I will honor my parents, spiritual and biological. The spiritual, I will esteem them highly in love for their name's sake, or rather for their work's sake. I will keep daily the commandment of life and love, to fear God, to love God, to love my fellow man by the Spirit, every 6 hours to pray in the Spirit, and daily I will spend quality time praying in the Spirit, effectually, fervently, and sufficiently, so that I will live long and fulfill my destiny. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for your life. Your power. In and upon our wills. Our minds. Our emotions. Our physical bodies. Our circumstances, our regional heavenlies, insufficient measure, in this regard, in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace. Today is a public holiday, so everybody just go home and chill. You can eat all you want now. Enjoy yourselves. Tomorrow is also a public holiday. It's time to rest and recuperate. Some of these messages, please go back, listen to it again. You never get it when you just listen to it the first time. And God will build these things into your spirit, into them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord impart on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to him and say, with long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, and you will fulfill the fullness of your destiny with no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen. God